Morning, church. Hey, so I'm super glad to be here today. We have a couple guests today, and Beckett, I guess, is not a guest, but I'm glad he's here. Bruce and Mabel's here as well. Bruce, do you have a message you want to give? I can step aside. Okay. So the title of the message today is There Is Room at the Table. I'm going to pose that to you differently, and I'm going to pose it in the form of a question. Is there room at your table? So what I want you to understand is there is room at his table. But do you make room for him at your table? And we're going to go through a bunch of different passages today, and I hope that you'll get what God wants you to get out of this message. I'm going to go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and Lord, I know this is a message you laid on my heart, and Lord, I hope there's everyone's here that needs to hear it today, and Lord, just take me out of the equation. Let me be your mouthpiece, but let my brain just shut down and hear what you want me to say, Lord. And let the people hear what you want them to hear, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. So, we're going to be in a bunch of different passages. One of the most important questions we can ever ask is, what is our God really like? And sometimes our answers are different, but they're important because we tend to become what our gods are. What I mean by that is, you know, sometimes we immortalize athletes, we immortalize musicians, we immortalize speakers. They're just people. But what do we do in our lives? And if you ever need evidence of this statement that I made, go watch a high school boys basketball game. Because, you know, Steph Curry kind of changed the way the NBA was played. And now it's not just good to make two-point baskets. Now you got to dribble across half court and chuck the ball. And man, sometimes I see kids in basketball games, they're taking shots. Man, when I played, I mean, our guys, if they were 6 foot tall, man, they played down the block. We pounded the ball to them, and they shot layups all day. Now, if you're 6 foot tall, man, you're playing out on the wing, and you're shooting 25-foot threes, okay? That's just the way everything changes is based off of how we perceive things to be. And the people and the things that we worship is what we try to build our life around. And I'm going to try to convince you today, there's one God. There's one God. And what does he look like in our lives? So we're going to dig in. And the answer should be, our God looks just like our Jesus. Any conception of God that doesn't look like Jesus is a misconception, a false look based off of fear, ignorance, or bad information. First, we're going to be in Hebrews. And sorry, Brody, it's all out of order. We're in Hebrews 1. And I'm going to give you a couple statements here, a couple passages that kind of lead us to where we want to go. So Hebrews 1, verses 1 through 3. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom we appointed heir of all things, and through whom also He made the universe. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. And at the end of the day, that's where we all want to be. Based on those verses, we expect to find in the stories of the Old Testament some misconceptions of what God really is like, things Jesus came to correct. There's a bunch of stuff in here, a bunch. And there's examples you can apply to your life today, whether it's Old Testament or New Testament. But understand that that Old Testament became what it is once Jesus came and fulfilled all of those promises in the Old Testament. John 14:9, Brody. This is a great verse. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you for such a long time? Anyone who sees me, who has seen me, has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" And Jesus is questioning everybody at that point, and he's trying to teach these guys. And the kids and I talked about it today, is those disciples are great examples. It's so, so important that we learn from those disciples. Why? Because we are those disciples. We're numbskulls. Those guys were short-minded. They were often led astray. They're no different than us. John 10:30. Sorry, Brody. I'm sending him on a... "I and the Father are one." If you take nothing else out of this message today, I want you to understand that your Jesus and your His Father, God, are one. We serve the same. Today I want... I got two stories. I'm going to start in Genesis chapter 18. We'll talk about it in a minute, but we're going to be chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And we'll get there, I promise. Mine's titled "The Three Visitors." The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abraham looked up and saw three men standing nearby. When he saw them, he hurried from the entrance to his tent to meet them and bowed low to the ground. He said, "I have found favor in your eyes, my Lord. Do not pass your servant by. Let a little water be brought, and then you may all wash your feet and rest under this tree. Let me get you something to eat so you can be refreshed and then go on your way now that you have come to your servant." "Very well," they answered, "do as you say." So Abraham hurried quickly into the tent to Sarah. "Quick," he said, "get three seahs," and that is three seahs, probably about 36 pounds of the finest flour, and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice tender calf and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. He then brought some curds and milk and the calf that had been prepared and set these before them. While they ate, he stood near them under a tree. What do I want you to take from that? Abraham saw three guys coming, right? But he recognized these three guys, and he said, hey, come, come. And then, and at this time, Abraham was, we're going to say Abraham was about 100 years old at this time. Sarah was about 90. He says, Sarah, go get 36 pounds of flour and knead and bake some bread for these three guys. Now, I don't know the first thing about baking, as my wife will tell you. But, and I pick on her. We go to Sam's Club and we buy flour when it's time to bake Christmas cookies or sugar cookies or whatever. You know, we can't buy a 5-pound bag of flour that would last us 2 years. We buy like a 12-pound bag of flour. We have flour in our pantry that's probably 3 years old. Matter of fact, we probably have the last 3 years worth of flour we bought at Sam's Club in our pantry. Because every time we're baking cookies, I got to get flour. But I'm talking 36 pounds of flour. That's a lot of bread to be made for three guys. And today in Sunday school, we talked about a time when Jesus used five loaves to feed 5,000. But that's how important Abraham thought these guys were. Okay? And he went and picked a calf and brought it in and said, hey, take care of this calf. We're having a feast. Abraham invited these guys to his table. So many times today, we're afraid to let him in. He did that for us, and we're afraid to let him in to our lives, to our table. And we'll go on here just a little bit more into this. In verse 9, they say, I want to take you back to 8. What does Abraham do while these guys are eating at that point? Table? Abraham under the shade tree. He just watching. That's pretty cool. Abraham's a pretty neat dude. But their question is, where is your wife Sarah? They ask him. They're in the tent, he said. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. And we all know the story from there. Sarah overhears that, and she kind of chuckles. She laughs. And she said, I'm 90 years old. But that is understanding the power of God. And just that simple invitation. Because Abraham could have sat in his tent. At the base of his tent. I mean, Abraham earned the right. He was 100 years old. He earned the right to sit there under the shade of his tent. But what does it say he did? It says he hurried to greet the men and invite them in. Guys, my challenge to you is I want us to hurry to see our God. I want us to hurry to invite our God, our Father, into our life. Let's go on. We are going to go to Luke 24. And I hope this ties up pretty well. I trust that God will tie it all together at the end. But I know what he's laid on me to preach. Luke 24. And what I want you to also understand is when he hung on that cross and when he when he committed all that, and he took that cross, and he took that resurrection, that fulfilled everything that was ever said. And back in the Old Testament, we didn't always understand it. We just made all those laws and rules and regulations, and here's what you got to sacrifice, and here's what you got to do, and here's if you do this, you got to do this. Jesus simplified all that for us because he took it off of us. He took it off of us. And we are going to be in 24, verse 13. And I think I've preached on this before. This is after the crucifixion. This is after the resurrection. This is after he's appeared to the disciples. But here we go, or he hasn't appeared to the disciples yet, I'm sorry. In verse 13, now on the same day of the resurrection, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they had discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. Now, as we are going on a walk, and Chris and I walk a little bit, not as much as softball kind of throws a wrench into that, but we're going to get back on the walking, and we walk every night, and we walk up and down our road, and as I envision these guys walking, you know, they're just walking along, minding their own business, maybe having a conversation. Somebody comes up and walks with them. Where'd he come from? Where'd he come from? If, again, I pick on Morgan. But if Chris and I are out walking and we got a third person coming along, we hear her coming because it's, oh, are we done yet? Or, man, you guys are going another lap. I'm going home. Okay, fair enough. But here's these guys, and they're walking. As they talk and discuss these things with each other, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. I don't know, has anybody ever had that where they just been walking, they don't recognize somebody? I don't know. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? So, again, these guys walking, Jesus asked this question. I just see these guys just stop and look at him like, are you guys out of your mind? Are you out of your mind? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? They can't believe the question that was asked. And again, I go back to the kids, the young adults, and our conversation. And man, everybody knew who Jesus was. Everybody. Except for a couple times the disciples, they thought he was a ghost. Which I guess if he's walking on water, okay. But here's that same situation. These guys are like, dude, do you not know what's going on? And Jesus' response says, what things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied, he was a prophet, powerful in the word indeed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it was just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And Jesus is kind of snarky at this point, and I love it. I love it. He said to them, How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. So these guys kind of called him a fool. Then he called them a fool. And they invited him in. Guys, there are days when we are fools. Unfortunately for me, there's a lot of days when I'm a fool. And you know, and I'll go back to Jen's little test. We weigh more at the North Pole or less? More. You know why? That's because that's where Mrs. Claus is baking cookies all day long. Okay? I'm kidding. But when we're having a week like Jen had, or sometimes like I have, there's one thing that's constant. One. In all our lives, everything changes, but there's one thing that's constant. And you know what that is? It said our Jesus went to that cross and suffered for me. And then he rose again to beat death for me. But let's read on. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And I keep going back to the young adults. I'm telling you, I'm learning more from them than they are from me, I guarantee you. But the thing we talked about today is all through the passages of Jesus' life, you know the one constant in Jesus' life that he did all the time? He prayed. He prayed. I can't even remember what we were talking about this morning, but it was, I don't remember. But twice in the passage we read, he went by himself to pray. And then good things happened. And then opportunity presented itself. And my challenge to the kids was, man, when things aren't going your way, go by yourself and pray. And I know I've preached it before, but the prayer helps so much. And when I have one of those days, and I know Jen does the same, when I have one of those days, man, I just shut everything off. And I pray. And you know what? My day usually gets better. Not without opportunities still, but I can feel God's hand there. And that's pretty powerful. So, we're going to go. In verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight. They ask each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and said, it is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. We are going to have that aha moment, that light bulb moment. Some of you may have already had them, and great. Some of you may still be yet to have them. And man, what a glorious day it'll be when you do. I want you to understand that Jesus appears to us in many different ways. My way of communicating with Jesus is different from Les's, which is different from Chris's, which is different from Paul's, which is different from Emily's, whatever. The importance is we all go to Him so that our eyes are open. Because without going to Him, man, we can just put our blinders on and just go through our week and not worry about anything and not care about anything. But when our eyes are open, our heart hurts, our mind hurts, our bodies hurt. But when we lay down at night, we know we're saved. My prayer is that none of you go throughout the day today that you don't understand that His table is always open. Even though we're broken, even though we don't deserve it, His table is always open. My hope is you open your table or your heart to Him and you let Him in and let Him have it. You know, Shelby just got a new kitchen table. I've yet to see it. Chris saw it and said it's a beautiful table. It was made from by her father-in-law, I think. And just a beautiful table out of barn wood. Chris said it wasn't what I thought. It's really finished and really, really. Guys, that's what our life with Christ looks like. That perfect table. That perfect, when He comes into your life, man, He is your table. He will take over your table. He will take over your life. He will take over your heart. And He will lead you where He wants you to go. Because again, for each one of us, that's different. And you probably will start your journey and not know where He wants you to go. I'm still not convinced where He wants me to end up. I know where He wants me to end up, but I'm not sure the journey to get there, what that looks like. And I don't worry about that. Because I know He's there. I know He's in charge. And as we start into getting into nice weather and getting into that, just take some time and recognize the beauty God has surrounded you with. You know, all the trees are budding, the grass is growing like wildfire and everything. And I love to mow. I don't have time to mow usually, but I love to mow. I'd mow my yard every day if I could. It drives my wife nuts. But again, that's a time where I sit on the mower, I put my noise headphones on, and I do nothing but think and talk to God. And I'm weird. I do it in my car too. And people say, "What is that guy doing?" But I want Him to know my table is open for Him and I want Him to come and sit and take ownership of it. I don't care what happens to the table as long as He's part of it. He already did that for you. So my challenge is if you're at that point today where you want God to take over and fully inhabit your life, it's as simple as asking Him into your heart and receiving Him like you would a guest for dinner. I'm going to close up with John 1:14. My man Brody's going to pull it up. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then lastly, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I want you to understand that passage right there. Every single one of us, man, when we receive it, God opens our eyes. God opens our eyes, and we see the fullness of God's glory. And with that, we start becoming transformed into His image. Sometimes that's a painful process because we are so broken. But understand that we're going for that final destination place of sitting at the right hand forever. Forever. So I'm going to close this in prayer. We're going to have a song of invitation. If you have more questions about what that looks like, and you have more, if you want to make that commitment today to open your heart fully to God and let Him just take over, Les and I will be here. And if you have prayer needs, we'll be here. And if you have praises, we'll be here. We have a lot to be thankful for. None more important than the fact that He sent His Son Jesus to hang on a cross and to rise again and beat death so that we have the promise of eternal life. And all we have to do is accept it. It's a free gift. Our salvation is a gift from God. And all it takes for us is to accept it. And that doesn't mean our life's going to be rosy all the time. But once we accept it, we know that we're covered by the blood Jesus shed on that cross. And we are promised eternity at the right hand of God. Dear Lord, we just come before You. And Lord, I ask that You are at work here today, Lord. And if there's someone here that wants to start their relationship with You, just make that known, Lord, and let us help in that situation. Lord, we know that You are in control. We know that You've got us all in the palm of Your hand, and that even though You have every one of us in the palm of Your hand, Your burden is light. Lord, we thank You for Your power. We thank You for Your grace. And we thank You for Your Son that You sent to come and die for our sins, so that we can live eternally with You in heaven, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.